Steve Lillywhite joins us to talk about another one of the albums that he's been involved with, and it is the third album that was known as Peter Gabriel, and All Music Guide says generally regarded as Peter Gabriel's finest record. They also say it's the kind of record where you remember the details of the production as much of the, as the hooks of the song, which isn't to say that it's all surface. It's just that the surface means as much as the songs. And I thought that was a very interesting way to talk about the record. Steve, how did this come about? That you had two different producers on albums one and two.
Yep.
And then you came in on this one.
Well, it was funny. This was 1980. I had been known as the, you know, I was doing pretty well with your XTCs and your Psychedelic Furs. Just goes to show, I can't remember whether I'd even worked with you two at this point. But, you know, I was the new wave guy, the young kid. And basically, Peter Gabriel was the singer of this band, Genesis, who we pretty much were rebelling against, the whole idea of prog rock. You know, it was big, it was bloated. Now, subsequently, I think it's rather good. But in those days, when you're skinny white boy with a, you know, with an attitude, Peter Gabriel was definitely the old guard. So when I got a phone call from his manager saying, Peter would like to meet you with regard to producing his album, I went, it was one of my friends taking the mickey, you know, winding me up, as we would say. But it worked out that no, it wasn't. It was so I went and met with Peter, and he was very, very open to technology and to modern things. And my ears pricked up. And then he said something really specific. He said, "Steve, I don't want to have any cymbals on this album." Now, up until that point, I'd been experimenting with a certain ambience on drums, and I did it on, say, Susie and the Banshees and with XTC. And it was good, but I'd always thought I got the best sound of the drums when the drummer wasn't playing the hi-hat or the cymbals. I could get this really good ambient drum sound. But it was, you know, it was sort of a punk rock version of it. It wasn't that refined. So when Peter said, "Oh, I'd like to try this," I went, "Yes, I've got all these ideas about how to work with perspectives and having loud things quiet, but quiet things really loud." I mean, the first song I'd love you to hear is this song called Intruder, which has this ridiculous gated drum sound, which now sounds a little bit sort of tame, but there's this other sound that comes in over the drum sound, and people are going, "What is that sound at the front?" And it's just a guitar pick very lightly touching against the strings, but it gives this real tension to the song.
That's Intruder, which is the song that begins Peter Gabriel's third album. Steve Lillywhite produced that. And we were talking about this record before we did this with some friends, and they said Peter Gabriel kind of turned the sound of a record inside out on this, and some of what you were saying about the drum sounds kind of fits into that.
And the loud things quiet and the quiet things loud. And it was also, for me, it was the first record that I'd made where we spent a long time on it, and so we really had time to live with it. I think actually during the making of this album, I made the first Psychedelic Furs album in 10 days when we had a sort of a 2-week break, and then I came back to Peter and we worked our way along, and it was very exciting. And we were, you know, we were right at the front of technology in 1980. I remember Peter talking about this thing, this keyboard thing that we imported from Australia, which was really amazing. It was called a Fairlight. And the idea was, you know, that you could break a bottle and record it into this machine, then play back the sound of the broken bottle on keys. You know, these things are now given away in cornflakes packets, you know, but in those days, this was a thousands of pounds worth of equipment, and we really thought we were at the cutting edge. But as well as that expensive equipment, at the time, a lot of the good reviews for this record was about a certain vocal sound, or a certain sound that prevails throughout the album, which is a sort of a distortion thing. And you'll hear it on this next track. It's called No Self-Control. And you'll hear on the beginning, on the left-hand speaker, is this sound that sort of goes, wow, like that. And in fact, if you look at my mouth going, wow, you can imagine that, right? So what Peter did was actually hold this little speaker, which was this $10 speaker from Radio Shack, held it up to his mouth. We fed the sound through that, and he would just open his mouth and make like a, you know, a wah-wah sound with his mouth, and we recorded that. So you actually hear this sound through Peter Gabriel's mouth back in, onto the record. It was, you know, we were like kids really pushing this stuff, and it was just all creativity. It was fantastic.
No Self-Control from the third Peter Gabriel album, produced by Steve Lillywhite. We're talking about another classic album that he's produced, and I shake my head every time we do this because there's so many incredible albums, you know, on your resume that you've been involved in. And as you say, you feel like kids, you know, kids playing, having a great time. Did you revel in that at the time, or did you have enough perspective on it as you're working on it to realize what you've got?
You know, on this Peter Gabriel record, I remember having just, you know, great table tennis games, you know, and there was that sort of youth club feeling. And, you know, what one other great story, there was a very famous A&R guy. His name is John Kolodner, and he signed Peter. He was on Atlantic. He was Atlantic's A&R. Peter was on Atlantic Records for this album. He was sort of the A&R guy that we thought was, you know, everything wrong with the music business. You know, his favorite record was the one that sold the most. Our favorite record was the one that was the most creative, you know. So we would play this little, oh God, I hope he's not listening to this. But we would play, you know, I remember one time, and he was from California. So one day, 10 minutes before we knew he was arriving at the studio, we turned the air conditioning full blast to really cold and pretended we weren't really thinking it was that cold, you know, just to make it so stupid. And but we did this, and we could see him listening to the music, you know, and because it was our domain, he couldn't say, turn the heating up, because, you know, he wouldn't say that because it was our place. And there we were sort of sitting there trying not to shiver and trying to think it was exactly all right. You know, so that was like a funny thing. But we had a big hit single on this record as well, which has Kate Bush singing the background singing. And I was listening to this just, a few moments ago, and I'd forgotten that if we manage to, when we play it and get through to the ending of the song, I did this thing where I sort of had half the music at double speed. It goes into this crazy bit. And if when you hear it, you'll get what I say. And it was quite complicated to do in those days, to have the vocals at normal. So the track goes on and the vocals stay the same, but all of a sudden the backing goes into double time, like it was, so 30 IPS instead of 15 IPS. So it was pretty good. But this Games Without Frontiers was, you know, it's a sort of a happy song, and it was one of the songs, actually, I think in the whistling section, there was a group of us in there. And I always say there were two songs that I did, that I've done whistling on, that were quite well known, and this was one of them. Games Without Frontiers by Peter Gabriel.
Listen for that double time portion, and listen for Steve Lillywhite whistling.
If looks could kill, they probably will. In Games Without Frontiers, War Without Tears. Games Without Frontiers, War Without Tears. She's so pretty. She's so
Games Without Frontiers, the classic tune from Peter Gabriel's third album, and another production from Steve Lillywhite. Really, really interesting stories. Thank you so much, Steve, once again.
My pleasure, David.
Steve Lillywhite, here on the World Cafe.